a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I want to call to order the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. I want to welcome our listening audience that is there. And then we have two new pages that are starting, so I'd like the pages to come to the microphone. Please identify yourself, your name, where you're from, and if you have future plans for after high school.
I'm Mariah Waters. I am from Huron, and I plan on going to SDSU for nursing.
Oh, that puts music to my ears. Nurses, did you hear this? And this is Nurses Day in Peer, and I'm an SDSU nursing graduate. You've got it. You are perfect. Very good. Next.
Hello, my name is Ashley Jade Higdon. I'm from Dupree, and I plan to go to Black Hills State University and major in English.
Very good. Well, welcome, and thank you to both of you. With that, I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Bradford.
Here.
Holeen.
Here.
Krebs.
Here.
Rave.
Here.
Schleckaway.
Here.
Krause.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here. We have a quorum present. Entertain a motion for the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Krause, seconded by Senator Schleckaway. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. With that, we will begin this morning. Just a reminder, any of you that are providing testimony to please sign in. And with that, we'll start to with the confirmation appointment of Kimberly Malsom Risden, Hughes County, Pierce, South Dakota, to the position of the Secretary of Department of Social Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Deb Bowman, and I'd be tempted to say I was Secretary of the Department of Social Services, but my current role is I'm one of the executive committee members for Governor Dugard. I serve as a senior advisor and chief lobbyist, and as part of my responsibilities, I oversee the Department of Social Services, Human Services, and Health. Unfortunately, when Secretary Hollingsworth and Interim Secretary Iverson Polreis were here, I was unable to be in front of the committee. But I would tell you what I'm going to say about Kim Malsom Risden is pretty much what I'd say about those two wonderful women. And so I am privileged to be here today in support of the confirmation of Kim Malsom Risden. Kim is a USD grad with a master's degree from the University of Wisconsin in social work. And I can honestly tell you that I hold some responsibility for her being here today, as I first hired Kim when I was director of the Division of Developmental Disabilities in the Department of Human Services. And Kim quickly proved herself as a talented and incredible young woman that she is today. Kim became director of the Division of Developmental Disabilities, and she also became director of the Division of Mental Health. About 5.5 years ago, I was honored by Governor Rounds when he appointed me and the Senate confirmed me to be Secretary of the Department of Social Services. And the first phone call I made was to Kim Malsom Risden to ask her to be my deputy, and stole her away from a good friend of mine, Betty Oldenkamp, who is now president of Lutheran Social Services. Kim is one of the most organized women that I know. She is one of the most compassionate people that I know. She has her values and her order straight when it comes to family, job, and church. She will do an extraordinary job in leading this department, because not only does she have empathy and sympathy for the people that that department relies on, the thousands of South Dakotans across the state, but she also represents the taxpayers, and she works daily to balance those two issues. And so on behalf of Governor Dugard, I come before this committee to ask you with every ounce of my heart to support the nomination of Kim Malsom Risden for Secretary of the Department of Social Services, and we thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman. Good morning.
Good morning, Senator.
Do you want to, I'll tell you what, this is what I'm asking. Please identify yourself for the home audience, and I know that Ms. Bowman gave some background, but if you want to just give a little bit, and then maybe if you want to also, moving into this new position and the challenges and certainly with the budget, what you see sort of in your vision for your services as you move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Kim Malsom Risden, the nominee for the Secretary of the Department of Social Services. Deb provided you with a very
eloquent, thank you, Deb, rendition of my history. I do come to this position with a bachelor's in political science from the University of South Dakota. My parents actually are from Pierre originally, and so when people say, where are you from? I say I'm from Pierre, but I actually grew up in Wisconsin and in New Hampshire because that's where my dad's jobs took our family. And so after graduating from high school from Hampton, New Hampshire, I came back to home, South Dakota, and went to USD there. Couldn't get a master's in social work in South Dakota at that time, so I'm excited for people that will soon have that opportunity. So I went to University of Wisconsin in Madison, started working with people with disabilities as a way to support myself and my husband at that time, also was doing the same thing, and just grew to love it. My family comes from a long history of helping others, and so it was very natural, and just enjoy that work. I come from a background of helping people with disabilities work as a job coach, and that includes scrubbing floors at Mexican restaurants and stocking shelves at grocery stores and making beds in hotels. And so I very much appreciate the time that I was able to do that. Coming back to then South Dakota after graduating from with my master's degree, had an opportunity of a lifetime to work in a policy arena, again, with people with disabilities, and that is with the Division of Developmental Disabilities. I very much see policy work as very gratifying. I think if you can change one person's life for the better, you're doing a great job. If you can change many people's lives for the better, that's really just what motivates me. So worked with the Division of Developmental Disabilities, also served as the director of the Division of Mental Health for 4 years before going over to the Department of Social Services. Since being at the Department of Social Services, I've had the opportunity to work on things like long-term care, work on the long-term care partnership program. How can we help people do the right thing, take care of their own needs, not rely on the state if they don't need to, but maybe need some incentive to do that? And I'm looking at Senator Krause because she helped us start some efforts in that regard. Also work in the area of child protection services and work with residential treatment providers to do some systems change work in that effort. So lots of experiences. The one thing I would tell you that I'm very grateful for, and that's the opportunity to work for some just truly remarkable women. And that goes back to when I was an intern for my master's degree and had the opportunity to see strong women in action and the good that individual people can do all the way through my career here in South Dakota, both working for Deb Bowman and Betty Oldenkamp. So I count myself as very lucky and fortunate to come into contact with just really good people. Since taking the role on as secretary at DSS, you know, we are always working on a variety of goals, and I personally believe in them very, very much. And so strong families are what our agency is all about, and how we make families stronger, because ultimately that is what makes our state the great state that it is. So we're working at any given point on making sure that people have access to the services that they need, whether that be long-term care services so that a person can stay closer to their family and stay at home with some minimal help, all the way to facility-based services, but still that they can stay close to family and their friends, whether that's children who don't have a voice, who can't be with their parents and who need something to make them successful young adults and successful adults as they age out. Access to services is a huge part of what we do day in and day out while still balancing the fiscal realities of our state and the barriers and opportunities that those bring. Making sure that vulnerable people, in particular our youngest and our oldest, are protected, are very much part of what we do and what we'll continue to do and continue to improve on. I know this committee, I thank you for your favorable passage of Senate Bill 14 to help folks with elder abuse types of issues. Those are the kinds of issues that we will continue to work on as well. With that, I can go on and on. You've probably already gotten a sense of that, but I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee has either now or in the future. Please know you're always welcome to come. Give me a call. Stop over. We're at the Knight Building. We have a great leadership team and a great staff across the state. Please know that they are accessible to you all and obviously to all the people that you represent.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
I just had a comment.
Oh, Senator Bradford.
I didn't have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a comment.
All right.
I want to just a little bit of, I've already met with the new secretary, as she knows. In some ways, I'm proud of you taking that position, because this year I don't know if it's an envious position. And I want to be emphatic, because as many of you know and many of you maybe don't know, but I think the people I represent are the most affected by social services. And some people get that confused with the word welfare, and I don't like that word. I think it's demeaning. But the help that the social services does here, and I'm quite proud of it. I mean, it's been good. The former secretary Bowman and I had a good relationship, and I just want my people to know that I think the help they deserve and the help they'll get under the new secretary will be very fair and good. I got that when I went to visit with her. And I think it's sometimes very hard for legislators who don't have people that really have social services problems to understand that it's oftentimes it's that small help, and it can lead to a future that we realize in the end that helps the state rather than looking at the moment of the money. And I really need to think we need to separate that, and I think the new secretary will do an excellent job in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. Anything else?
Madam Chair.
Senator Krause.
I move to confirm the appointment of Kimberly Malsom Risden to Secretary of the Department of Social Services.
Thank you. It's been moved by Senator Krause, second by Senator Rave for confirmation appointment. Any comments on that motion, Senator Krause?
Yes, I'll keep it brief. Thank you. I want to second what Senator Bradford had to say about the department as it has been run and as I know it will continue to run under this candidate. I had a little experience as a CASA volunteer with the department, and it was just really reassuring that the people in our state who need these services are getting great service from the department. We had terrific people working with us. So I really am very happy to see this appointment.
Thank you. And I think I want to echo the same sentiments. I think when you look at transition and having someone within the department that's very familiar and having the role models and the mentors that you talked about certainly will lead us in this challenging time. And I also acknowledge that you have members of your staff that are present in the room, which also gives a testimonial to their belief in your direction and their support. So I say thank you with that. With that, the motion before us is do pass on the confirmation. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just a comment. Senate Bill 171 is being deferred today till Wednesday at the request of the a sponsor of that bill, so we will deal with that on Wednesday. With that, we will move to Senate Bill 151, which revises the grandfathering provisions of massage therapy literature.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. I'm Senator Stan Adelstein from District 32 in the beautiful and slightly warmer Black Hills. I can't find the what I'm looking for in terms of the original law. I'm here today to ask for consideration of what might be considered, in my mind, an error in the original massage licensing bill. The intention, when we passed the bill, I'm trying to find the language of it, was to regulate an industry which had not been previously regulated. We were dealing with massage, which I happen to think, and all the studies show, are really... really helpful in extending life and in health. I was thinking of a friend of mine who just passed away who he and I had talked about these sorts of things and help. So, but because the use of massage has become so much more frequent, in fact, after the time of the flood in Rapid City, there was a whole new education. So many, many people were studying massage. And the system at that time, originally, was the apprentice system, which was very, very effective. But there was a time now when more education was required, so we passed a bill that required so many hours of education and some continuing education, which the continuing is no problem, and allowed those who had been practicing for a number of years to, in a sense, be grandfathered or grandmothered, as the case may be, that brought this to my attention. And as I understood the intention of the bill was once you have been recognized as having been in practice for a long time, then you didn't have to meet these other requirements. And we're dealing now with mature people, some of them that had been at it for as many as 15 or 20 years. But as the law was interpreted, and I'm not arguing with that. I dealt with the committee afterwards that once you had your license lapse or you paused in the practice of your massage therapy for a period of time, when you went in to be relicensed, then what happened is you had to go through all of the requirements as though you had not qualified for grandmother or grandfather status. I bring this bill because I thought that once qualified, someone should always be able to be qualified. The LRC put another two-year extension on it, which I might, with some discussion with the members of this committee, extend, because these are individuals who, if at best, you'd say they were the right side thinkers. They're outstanding. They cure people, but all of a sudden, someone who may have been in practice, in this case, as you'll see, almost all of the signatures are from Rapid City, because this happened with an individual from Rapid City that many of us know, family know, very, very fine practitioner. They don't think about the terms of the law. They just don't. I'm not sure they really knew and didn't read the words of the law, that if it lapses, they had to return. And all of a sudden, they are literally put out of business. The clients that they've been curing and helping for a number of years are out of business or have to find someone else. So I would very much appreciate passing this bill and discussing with me an amendment on the floor to remove the additional 2 years. LRC thought that was necessary, but the more I think about it, we're now then going to start with people that instead of having been practiced for 20 or 30 years, people have been doing it for 34 years. So I very much are passing this bill. It's very, very simple. It means that people who once qualified continue to qualify under the requirements that we all agree are necessary. Thank you very much, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any other proponents? Are there any questions for the senator regarding this? Any questions?
Yes,
Senator Krause.
Senator Adelstein.
Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask about people from out of state. If they come into our state, how are they? Are they allowed to practice? And how does this, how do the requirements as they now stand affect those people who have been accredited out of state?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I was trying to find the old bill, the law as it is. I don't know, but I'm trying to find it. I'll work. Thank you.
Would you know?
Thank you very much. You don't know where you're in the what section? Because it was a one-page bill, and I'm not looking.
I'm just going to ask this question: is there anybody here from the Board of Massage Therapy that's the executive director on the board? No.
Let me quickly find it. I wonder I couldn't find it before. There's 9 pages on a 1-page bill. I just need the bill.
Here, look at this one
of it. You found it? Thank you very much. That's a very good question.
Basically, those are regular standards. This is what you want to talk about. Number 7.
Number 7 says that passing score, the Board may issue license to engage in the practice of massage any person who submits an application, passing who has a passing score and an examination administered by national, accredited by the national. That isn't necessarily the place I'm looking for. You know, where's the. Okay, here we go. For 2 years following the effective date of this act, the board may issue a license to a person who demonstrates a completion of a minimum of 100 hours training or study. Any person applying under this section not required to comply with examination and training or study requirements. With the facility or instructor recognized. Any person holding a valid license, thank you very much, Senator Krause, very good. Any person holding a valid license to practice massage for another state whose requirements for licensure are not less restrictive than this state is not required to take the examination for licensure. So I think you have to be licensed. You have to be pre-licensed if you come into the state. That this other portion number, section 14, does not apply. I think it would have been section 15. Thank you very much. A very good question.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Then my next question: are there any opponents?
Sadly, yes.
Page, she's got some materials for you.
Will you distribute this to the committee, please?
And then will you please first identify yourself for the home listening audience?
Certainly. Let me find my notes out here again. Good morning, Madam Chair, Senators. My name is Valerie Rowan. I am a licensed massage therapist from here in Pierre. I am here to represent the South Dakota chapter of the American Massage Therapy Association. Of the National Professional Massage Therapy Organizations, the AMTA is the only one that is organized on a state level. I serve as a state officer. That's my old notes. Sorry. When I went to look for them. No, There they are. I gave them to the page. The South Dakota chapter of the AMDA supports the regulation of massage therapy in our state. In 2005, we, along with other non-members, were instrumental in lobbying for passage of the law in the first place. As Senator Adelstein has mentioned, he was one of our supporters at the time and has consistently been an advocate for our profession and the endeavor to provide safe and ethical massage therapy in the state of South Dakota. And we continue to be very grateful for his support. As you know, no law is perfect. When this law passed in 2005, we knew that eventually, once we'd lived with it for a few years and learned which parts didn't work so well, that it would need to be tweaked. As you can see in the statute, if you can see the statute, that's 36-35, when this law was originally passed in 2005, it provided a very liberal 2-year grandfathering option. That is, a person just had to have at least 100 hours of education or up to 3 years experience, or 3 years experience. And that was good, because Ms. Senator Adelstein was right. There were people who've been doing quality work for many, many years who trained under somebody or who aren't hurting anybody, and we needed everybody in the system. That was our plan. We get everybody in the system, let them practice their massage, and then if there is a problem, the board could deal with it. And that grandfathering option is 36-35-14. The law went into effect July 2005, but the state board wasn't seated until October. The rules process took another year, so effectively, the board did not begin to issue licenses until November 2006. Thus, more than a year of the grandfathering option was eaten up before the first license was issued. Hence, the first adjustment to the law happened. Grandfathering was extended for 1 year. Many of us took advantage of that opportunity. That window closed on July 1st, 2008. Since then, new applicants for a massage license are required, and this is what Senator Adelstein was looking for, this information that you ask about. Since then, new applicants are required to have 500 hours of training with an accredited massage school and to pass a national exam. These requirements are fairly standard as compared to the other 48 states that have massage therapy practice acts. Now, this bill suggests that if a person had allowed their license to lapse, that the state should now change the law to provide them an easier opportunity to get their license back. The South Dakota chapter of the AMTA supports the right of any qualified, competent professional to practice massage therapy within the law. First and foremost, this law was designed to protect the public. Is someone who let their license lapse a threat to public safety? Most likely not. However, today there are 672 active licensed massage therapists in South Dakota, all of whom are apparently keeping their licenses current. Every year, 45 to 30 days prior to our due date, the State Board of Massage Therapy sends us this notice that it is time to renew our license. And I have given you a copy of what I received when my license was due. This form that comes along with the renewal form. Now, I apologize to you. My printer was running low on colored ink. What you're seeing in pink actually comes to us in red. This document does remind the licensee of the consequences of renewing late or of failing to renew at all. It also cites the option to go inactive. So a person who might accidentally let their license expire does, under the current law, have the ability to get it back. It isn't as easy as when they were grandfathered in the first place, but it is by the same means that each new applicant since July 1st, 2008 has obtained their license. When the AMTA South Dakota chapter first heard of this bill, with the information we had at hand, the board, in fairness to all therapists who have complied with the renewal requirements of the massage law, voted to authorize me to represent them in asking you to vote no on Senate Bill 151. Since this doesn't seem to be a widespread problem in that none of our members have come to our board and to speak to us about it, to have us to seek support in this matter. But since this doesn't seem to be a widespread problem, the question here is it prudent to open this law and make changes that would appear to benefit very few individuals? Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Any other opponents? Are there questions for this opponent? Senator Krause.
Thank you. How large is your board,
Our association?
Yes, here
Five.
In South Dakota. Okay. And may I follow up question? Who makes the decision about a possible exemption for, you know, if someone has let it lapse?
That's a regulatory board question. We're a professional member organization, so I can't answer that question. That would be for the regulatory board, I believe.
That's what I'm asking, is how many on the regulatory board and many make that decision?
There are five, I think, on the regulatory board. And so, again, question for the board. I really don't have the authority to answer for them.
Thank you.
I have a few questions. Just on the sheet that you handed out, just so I understand this. Under 36-35-16, the last two sentences, any person who submits a license renewal late shall submit a $75 late fee. The next sentence says, any person whose license has lapsed shall reapply for a license. Can you explain that? Because I'm unclear what that means.
I have an interpretation of it, but again, is it for me to interpret? Is it for me to make a statement to this committee? Shouldn't the board? And I hesitate to answer a question that should be directed to the regulatory board to speak on their behalf.
Well, the thing is, you brought this,
okay. And
you're a licensed massage therapist. If you don't know your scope of practice and what your rules and regs are, okay. Then.
All right.
Okay, so in your interpretation, of a late
again,
fee,
not as a regulatory board member, just as a licensee, my license expires November 8th.
Okay.
So we are required to have my dues paid. I have to have my renewal in a month early by law. I'm required to have it in 30 days before my expiration date.
Correct.
So my assumption is, if I do not meet that October 8th deadline, that I am late. So I would be required to pay the $75 fee. That's my interpretation of it.
Okay.
If it and then if I miss my expiration date altogether, my November 8th expiration date, then I assume that means my license shall lapse. That's the premise I'm operating under when I look at this.
Thank you. I have to be honest with you. I question why the Board of Massage Therapy is not here. This, at least, when we're looking to change their practice, why they are not here. Now, they are a newly organized board. You are not a board member, I take it.
That's correct.
So that is a question that I have, really, in addressing this, because I think for those of us that were here when we dealt with massage therapy, we had lots of discussion and a lot of problems. So, you know, part of me as we continue on with this discussion, but I'll hold that. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, you can, Senator. I'll get you a rebuttal on this.
The testimony we received was very accurate and kind, and illustrated in a way the problem of interpretation that some individuals have had. And there may not be very many. In fact, I'm not even sure that she would have known to call and ask, although very obviously very competent leadership in the society. When she said it can't be too widespread a problem, it may not be. It may be more widespread than we even know. But I guess really the practice in South Dakota is that we generally assist even a few people because we're a little state and we care how things can be misunderstood. Thank you very much for your questions, both of you.
Thank you, Senator. I have to be honest, I'm uncomfortable in doing anything on this bill because I think we need a clarification, because if we go into, those of us that are licensed, if we go into our licensing and change that without a board presence or anything like that, we don't know what the consequences are of that. What I would like to do is delay action on this bill and give the opportunity for the Board of Massage Therapy to come to the next meeting and to continue the hearing. That's my option on this. I'm open for discussion on that.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Senator Cross.
I agree, because I think this piece that we've been given by the opponent is a little contradictory, because it says that it implies that if you submit a $75 late fee that you can reapply and get your license. So it's difficult to understand.
Okay. Well, with that, then, what I'm going to do is delay any further action, put it below the line, and continue our hearing when we have the Board of Massage Therapy. Give them that opportunity to come, and I'll try and get them for the next meeting on Wednesday. Thank you. With that, we have no further business to come before this meeting. I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Senator Rave, second by Senator Bradford. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you.